Andy, you're never late. What's going on? What's the matter?
I know. Well, you know what? My phone must still be on Vegas time because I was sitting there looking at the phone, and then all of a sudden the thing pops up. It says 3 missed calls. I'm looking right at it. What's going on? And then, you know, c'est la vie. What can you do sometimes?
It's all good.
Apologies for being late to everybody there. I did make it back from Vegas. I was not detained in any windowless rooms in the casino, so feeling good.
Well, I'm glad they let you out of Vegas. That's good. You didn't lose all your money. And we actually just had a phenomenal conversation with the gentleman who's on the board of the number two selection. AOS Sports, they hold the number two selection, apparently, after the Vegas draft.
Yes, Mr. Damon Allen, right?
That's right.
That's awesome. No, and it was such a great trip. Well, I got to hang out with Damon quite a bit. Did the live franchise auction show with Eric Metcalf, which was amazing. Got to chat with Michael Vick, Chris Carter, Nick Lewis, just Walt Harris, just names after names of players and people. The casino owner of the place we stayed at, the Circa, which is a phenomenal facility with the stadium swim. I bumped into him. Next thing I know, I'm in his office helping to make a bid. He bought a team. So it was a great trip.
Awesome stuff, man. And we'll be chatting about you or about that and getting updates as we continue, as I've talked about a lot. We'll have you on through the fall and looking forward to the NFL season. We're now at 8 weeks, Andy, so the countdown is on. And all of a sudden, you know, you're 2 weeks away from the CFL. We're going to have too much football to know what we want to do with ourselves, but looking forward to it. And, you know, we always have this conversation every year. I don't know how much of it happens in July, but I always stress, do not draft early in fantasy football. And a lot of people, even if you had them on your keeper list, you're probably very upset. We had a significant injury this week. Your reaction to Cam Akers and the torn Achilles?
Yeah, and well, you said it. That's why you don't draft early, because these type of things happen, right? Just wait till training camp, and there's going to be other issues. It's a big one. And whether you are a Cam Akers truther like I am, or were a bit more hesitant on whether you could carry over his hot second half or whatever, we've chatted about it so often on the show and with you, how rare those true running back ones are, how true those starters, how rare what they mean to a fantasy team, because there's so many committees. And we take one right off the table here. And now it looks like, okay, what are the Rams going to do? Is it Darrell Henderson, who had 5 touchdowns last year, 600-something yards? You know, he had the chance to take the job multiple times last year, couldn't do it. You have two untested guys behind him and Xavier Jones, who has been in the league a couple of years but never taken a handoff in a actual regular season game. Jake Funk, who I'm hoping is successful just off of the merchandising opportunity with the last name. That could be a lot of fun. But otherwise, we lose a true starting running back from the Rams side specifically. Well, maybe that means we have to start thinking about upping the value for Matt Stafford in the receiving core because of the possible committee in the backfield.
I was going to say, what's the impact now? And you know, is anybody going to be drafting Rams quarterbacks come next month? Or Rams running backs, I should say.
You know what? The one to own right now, of course, is Darrell Henderson. It's the hot one. Everything else is speculation. And we've seen, look, we don't have to look any further than last year with James Robinson and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who nobody was talking about, nobody knew anything about. All of a sudden, this dude comes in, lights it up. Now, he was taken away by Travis Etienne being drafted, and we're in another committee situation. So I would keep our eyes on the Rams of a veteran coming in, and you know, whoever it might be. Does Adrian Peterson rear his fantasy-killing head once again to muddy up a backfield? Maybe. Like, I would rather, just from a greedy fantasy side, keep it as is, and let's see what Darrell Henderson can do with the job primarily his. It's a mess, though. I do think, though, that you up the Tyler Higbee value, the Matthew Stafford value for sure, because they might not have a choice but to pass more if the running game isn't as good as expected when it came to Cam Akers.
So I'm guessing now Sean McVay is very happy he has Matthew Stafford. He wasn't before.
Oof. Yeah, you got to be happy with that, just for what he does. Now, other time about health, the other stuff Matthew Stafford his last few years hasn't been able to stay healthy. Kind of that Ben Roethlisberger thing, the big body guy who's always kind of banged up but plays through and play declines near the end. Behind him, John Walford, Bryce Perkins, Doc Hodges. Ugh. Stafford goes down, then just cancel the Rams. It's over. That's it. You're done.
He is Andy McNamara, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, sportsnet.ca, all things fantasy and fantasy football. He's our guest every single Wednesday on The Big Show.
Andy, I wanted to ask you a couple questions, go to a couple different places. Mainly, I wanted to start the San Francisco 49ers. It's a crowded wide receiver room there. Who do you think stands out the most in that crowded passing attack?
Yeah, it's a great question. And what is going to happen at quarterback? You have Trey Lance there, right? This is the whole sort of cat and mouse game. Now, I believe if Jimmy Garoppolo stays healthy, we've seen on the rare occasion he can stay healthy for a stretch, help take his team to the Super Bowl. He can be a very efficient quarterback. So I don't think he will lose his job to Trey Lance. But if he gets hurt like he has done so often, what does a incredibly raw Trey Lance mean for that wide receiver group? Because he only had, I don't have it in front of me, he only took, I think it was like 370 pass attempts in his whole college career, something ridiculous. It was something super low. So where does somebody that raw fit in with the skill set and the wide receiver? So let's say for now, Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy and he's the starter. So what do we do? Well, we look at the wide receiver group. We got Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Richie James, as well as Mohamed Sanu as sort of the top guys. Richie James and Mohamed Sanu at this point, I'm taking them off my fantasy draft board. Ayuk and Samuel, similar types of receivers. Like, I would rather have liked them, and I'm a big Brandon Ayuk fan coming out. I think both can eat on this offense, but I would have rather them had a bigger body guy that can sort of complement instead of two smaller slot receivers that might have to play outside. So I almost consider them a bit of a wash. And last year, neither could stay healthy for long periods of time together. So we didn't, and the quarterback situation, so we didn't get a full look. I personally would say give a slight edge to Deebo Samuel, then you go Brandon Ayuk. But we know that the majority of the passes, if everything's equal and everyone's healthy, is going to George Kittle.
In Atlanta, they have an interesting conversation at running back. Is Mike Davis a possibility for you as someone that you're going to be in or out on? Could he be a cheap option later in a draft as a potential bloomer, as a guy who might be out there for three downs for Atlanta?
You know what? The Mike Davis situation at first did not excite me at all, and it still doesn't. But with the situation that we're seeing with Cam Akers going down, what do we always talk about, right? My formula is opportunity equals success. So even though Mike Davis, who the first couple of weeks he filled in for Christian McCaffrey, really popped. Like, I got him off of waivers and, it, you know, his life was looking good for a while. Then he trailed off. And people look at that. Look at his legs. All right, fine. That's great. Is he gonna do anything? The thing is, as this backfield, as it stands, he's going to get opportunity. Cordarrelle Patterson has proven throughout his career he's a gimmick guy. He is kind of a receiver, behind him, Kadri Olofsson and Tony Brooks James. So it will be Mike Davis's backfield, I think, for the most part. So I place him as an RB2. And I think he could be, and this is why I'm a little happier about the situation, I think he could just turn into a nice mid-level RB2. You put him in, he's not going to lose you a week. You're not going to have standout highlight reel stuff from him, but he's going to be good. I think he's going to just be good. And sometimes, hey guys, if you can have your RB2 just good and you can set him and forget him, all things being considered, that's not a bad situation to be in.
Training camps are beginning to get underway across the NFL. And as usual, we get the first looks of guys coming into camp, and we get the rumor, oh, he looks like he's in good shape, he's not in great shape. We've already gotten the one in Pittsburgh of a supposedly trimmer and ready to go healthy Ben Roethlisberger. Andy, do you buy a comeback season or a bounce back season from Ben Roethlisberger behind an improved Steelers O-line?
Well, so here's the thing. Ben Roethlisberger, remember that team was undefeated for how many weeks last year? They kept having him throw the football, and his surgically repaired elbow fell apart at the end. He's trimmer, good. Yeah, like the thing is with Roethlisberger, he was always durable to a point, right? So he's thinner. That's fine. The offensive line though is where my concern lies, because I think the improvement is going to be wait to be seen. You have four new starters. You got four new starters, four new faces on that line that have not played with Ben Roethlisberger. Najee Harris behind them. You look, there's not a lot of familiar names on that O-line. So is it improved? There's a chance. There's also a chance it goes the other way. And especially, I think the key is this. However the skill set is divvied up of that offensive line, you got to obviously protect Ben Roethlisberger, but you better make sure that that line can run. Because if they become one-dimensional again like last year, he's going to have to throw the ball a ton. He's going to get hit a lot more behind a potentially worse offensive line. I think we see the same type of pattern. So I feel the Steelers are a team where you are either all in or all out. I don't think there's an in-between when you're looking to draft them. I'm closer to the all-out side. And not to say I would avoid everybody, but most of the Steelers would not be my first choice just based on that O-line situation and Roethlisberger's arm.
Andy, I'm going to use your inside knowledge totally to my own gain for this one and ask you about my own team. I'm a Chargers fan, and I'm looking down the line here, and of course I'm biased towards my own guys. Once you get past the Herberts, the Ecklers, the Allens, is there an opportunity to kind of sneakily pick up Mike Williams late in the draft and have him sort of surprise maybe into a wide receiver two this year?
And first of all, Justin Herbert, I'm excited to see what he does in year two. I see him sort of as a possibly even a more polished version of Josh Allen as he was coming out, which would be really exciting. That would be, boy, if he can continue on that trend after being rookie of the year, that'd be huge. For Mike Williams, boy, he's always seemed just beyond the cusp and never got over the hump. Just one 1,000-yard season, and that came literally by a single yard. And he only had two touchdowns in that 2019 year. Could he? Yeah, I would feel more comfortable with Williams as a WR3. I wouldn't draft him relying on him as my WR2 just because he hasn't seized the moment. He hasn't seized the opportunities when they've come to him. And he's never even had over 50 receptions in a year. So that's a big jump for me to think he would get to the WR2 stage. But could he develop and grow with Herbert as a solid, your third guy? I feel comfortable saying that.
He's Andy McNamara. He joins us every single Wednesday here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. A couple more at 960-960. We got to wrap up with Andy here in a couple of minutes. This one says, which rookie would you draft first, Andy, excluding quarterbacks, assuming everyone is healthy, a pure rookie draft? Who's your number one pick?
Oh, so no choices, just overall.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy. Okay. Well, all right. I'm going to take I'll take the quarterbacks off the table. I'm going to say we look at Najee Harris. I was just trying to talk myself out of it with the Steelers, but if we're looking rookie and we're looking at impact guys, who are the players that make day one impacts the most? It's running back. It's one of the few positions. Wide receiver, you can speculate a bit, but typically we see them in the second half of the season start to project a little bit more and on a trend. So dynasty situations, that maybe might be a spot, but I think it would have been Travis Etienne, but he's muddied in that Jacksonville situation. So from a guy who's going to have all the opportunity, we have to look at Najee Harris of the Steelers. I'm actually putting together, I think it'll be out probably late next week, my top 12 rankings in a sleeper for each fantasy position group for Sportsnet. I have Najee Harris as my 12. So I have him as the end RB1 going into the year, which I think all things being considered is pretty good.
And speaking of sleepers, I don't want you to give anything away, but there was a text that came in right now. We'll end on this. It's who is a sleeper pick? We'll go, give us maybe one or two names. And you would have in the kind of sleeper category this year, Andy, in 2021.
You know what? I'll tell you this one, Will. And it's not exciting a name. And you might think, huh? Marvin Jones, Jacksonville Jaguars, coming over from the Lions. And the reason is, you look at Marvin Jones and you think, when you think Marvin Jones, you don't get overwhelmed with, excitement or whatever. But Marvin Jones was a WR18 all of last year on the Detroit Lions, which was a mess under Matt Patricia. And if you look at rookie quarterbacks, what do they like to do? They like to find that veteran guy, that reliable source, that team guy who they can lean on and go. By all accounts, Jones is a great leader, clubhouse guy. I think Trevor Lawrence leans on him and feeds him at least for the first part of the year. My strategy would be this. I think he's going to come and be possibly right there with DJ Chark right off the bat with Trevor Lawrence. I would look, get Marvin Jones on your team, draft him, have him, and at the halfway point of the year, if he's popping, then try to trade him at his height, about halfway through the year, because at that point, we'll see Trevor Lawrence get into his groove, and then maybe he starts leaning more towards guys like LaVisca Chenault or Chark or whatever. But Marvin Jones, out of that year, you put up those numbers consistently, WR2 consistent when he's healthy, I think that's a guy you can get cheap in drafts and who's going to be a nice plug-and-play type.
He's already been hanging out with Trevor Lawrence at Clemson a little bit this offseason. So,
see?
Yeah, I think that's a wise investment, sir. Thank you for your time, as always. Enjoy the rest of the week. We will talk to you next Wednesday. Sorry, Andy, ton of fun, man. And, we're 8 weeks away from the return of NFL Sundays.
Oh, Will, cannot wait till next week. Closer and closer. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. There he is, Andy McNamara, our guest on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Make it a great night. Choose some pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, or steaks and ribs. Order now through DoorDash or dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Some fantastic texts are coming in at 960-960. It is unofficially, but about 2.5 hours away from being official, the end of an era in Calgary. Mark Giordano expected to be picked by the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft tonight at 6 p.m. We're looking for your favorite Geo memories, the biggest impact he's had on the Flames. Give us your thoughts at 960-960. Read some of those as the show goes along. Back to the hockey world, and we'll focus in on Seattle's approach in this expansion draft. Most notably, the area that's probably raised the most eyebrows, their goaltending department. Mike McKenna joins us next on the Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.